sum before the less will be number 346. Number 346.
I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along my narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
In all the world around me, I see his loving care. Though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way.
I put that in the top of your notes by way of review or in the introduction, where Jesus tells a parable and tells about a man that made a great supper. He invited others to come to the feast. When it was time for them to come to the feast, being the supper was now ready, they began to offer excuses. Once that I bought a field, I can't come. I pray thee, have me excused. Another one said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I pray thee, have me excused. Another one said, I'm married. Pray thee, have me excused. Of course, none of the excuses were approved. The man of the house, the one who had bid them to the supper, said they will not have that supper. Every excuse was denied. So we're looking at excuses people make for not obeying the gospel. Excuses that I've heard over the years that people give for not becoming a Christian, or not being as dedicated or as committed as they would like. So in previous lessons, I've tried to answer some of these excuses that people give. Now, in the earlier lessons, we've looked at the excuse where someone says the Christian life is too difficult. Or where someone says, well, I know people in the church that are not living up to their faith. You know, I see that as hypocrisy, so I'm not going to become a Christian. Someone says there's too many churches. Don't know which one to attend. Someone said, I just don't want to give up my Sunday mornings. We've answered, tried to answer that excuse last week, and that was in last week's lesson. I didn't finish last week's lesson, so one of the excuses that is given, I don't have these in your notes today because it was finishing up last week, but someone said, I don't want to lose popularity. They're saying my friends will probably make fun of me if I become a Christian. They'll wonder what's happened to me on Sunday morning. How come I'm not with them? But I'm guessing if that's your excuse, I'm guessing that they'll appreciate you more for your conviction of faith. I've witnessed that in the lives of people that made the decision to become a Christian. Others have expressed appreciation for that. Perhaps they've even said to themselves, I wish I had the courage to do that. I remember a lesson that we need to learn, especially while we're young. You can't please everyone. Learn that lesson. I still can't please everyone in what I say or what I do. I remember the story of an old man, a young boy, and a donkey. They were walking down the road. And as they were walking down the road, they would pass certain people standing on the sidewalk or by the curb. And they're walking down the road, and one time they get to a place where there's people there, and the people on the curb said, look at that. That old man's making that little boy walk. The little boy should be riding the donkey. So the man put the boy on the donkey. Went down a little bit farther, and the people on the side of the road saw them and said, look at that. A healthy boy riding when an old man should be riding the donkey. So the man put the little boy down and he got on the donkey. Went down a little farther. People on the sidewalk saw it and they said, look at that. They should both be riding the donkey. So sure enough, they both got on the donkey. Went down a little bit farther. And they said, look at that. That poor donkey carrying an old man and a little boy. So they got off the donkey. A little bit farther down the road, they said, isn't that ridiculous? An old man and a little boy carrying a donkey. Yeah, no matter what you do, you're going to get criticized. So why are you going to let a criticism of becoming a Christian to keep you from becoming a Christian? You're going to be criticized. Besides, the Bible says in Acts 5, verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than man. There's a situation in the Bible in John chapter 12, verse 42, where it says, nevertheless, even of the rulers, many believed on him. That's a good thing. The rulers believed on Jesus. Uh-oh. The verse continues. But because of the Pharisees, they didn't confess it. Otherwise, they were afraid of being put out of the synagogue. For they love the glory that is of men more than the glory that is of God. Oh, what a mistaken choice. You would rather receive the applause of men than the glory of God? Talk about misplaced values. In Luke 9, verse 26, Jesus said, whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. Wow. If your friends forsake you because you want to become a Christian and live it, they're not very good friends. Choose wisely. So our lesson continues today, and that's the note you have in the bulletin today. Again, continuing these excuses that people have. By the way, in lesson number one, when I gave a lesson actually on the parable Jesus told, I told you at the end, I have about 21 different things that I've heard over the years that people have said or give reasons people have given for why they're not a Christian. I'm going to kind of get through all of these. Before July. But number seven, Some of us, I'm afraid. In fact, I'm just afraid that I can't keep living the Christian life. I'm thinking, I might be off to a good start, but you know, I'm not sure that I can just continue. So put in your notes, you ever hear the expression, fear paralyzes. Meaning being afraid of something causes us to do nothing. I'm just afraid I can't be successful, so therefore I'm not even going to try. And with a little bit of help, you can succeed. Now, putting your nose, fear was the affliction of the one talent man. Jesus gave talents to several people in that story in Matthew chapter 25. And some of them took their talents and used them. Even the man that had one talent was supposed to take it and use it. But he, as the illustration gives, was afraid. In Matthew 25, verse 24, then he which had received the one talent came and said to the master that gave him the talent, Lord, I knew, a key phrase, I knew that you are a hard man. You reap where you didn't sow. You gather where you didn't straw. And I was afraid. And so I went and hid thy talent that you gave me in the earth. And lo, there you have what's yours. Ooh, I wonder if that excuse will be okay. The master of the house gave that man a talent. He's afraid. I don't think I can use this. I don't think I can gain another one. I don't think I can increase or move on or be productive. Oh, I'm just so afraid. Thank you for the talent. By the way, thank you for the talent. And he said, I knew that you could increase it because you can increase where you haven't even sowed. I with that piece of knowledge, he should have used what he had, but he didn't. So I hid what you gave me, and here it is back, exactly what you gave me. You know what the Lord said? Verse 26. The Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Excuse denied. Now you're afraid. Excuse rejected. Your excuse is not accepted. The story continues in verse 30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you're going to tell Jesus in judgment, Lord, I didn't use what you gave me, and I made a decision not to even try because I was afraid, really. In life, we don't allow our fears to keep us from doing things. I know we're afraid of having an auto accident, but it doesn't keep us from driving. Maybe some. But we overcome our fears. We may take a class, or we just receive some instruction, or we obey the laws. And it relieves our fears. So fear doesn't keep us from doing a lot of things in life. Fear of getting ill causes us to take measures of prevention. And we move about. Fear of illness doesn't cause us to hibernate. We still get out and go and do things. Legitimate fears cause us to use our resources to be successful in life, not to quit life. Afraid to go to college. I went to a college where I didn't know anybody. The other people, I went to a junior college first, and the other students where I went to a junior college went to a different college than where I was going. No one in the junior college I went to, the Christian college, went to Abilene Christian. None went to Harding University, and I chose Harding. Didn't know anybody there. I think I was afraid. But you use the resources. You make friends quickly. You ask questions. In fact, it was hard to ask questions at Harding because sometimes I'd want to introduce myself to somebody, but they'd introduce themselves to me first. I'd be walking down the hallway or something else, they're coming toward me, and before I can get my howdy out, they're howdying me. Howdy, howdy. Already got. Well, getting married. Afraid to get married? Well, no, some of you might be afraid. You'd really be afraid to get married. You don't allow a little fear of the unknown to stop you. And we've seen other people who are successful in Christian living. So why should that hinder us? Well, I'm afraid I can't do it. Well, look around at those who are doing it, and then they can help. And the Bible gives us abundant helps. Philippians 1, verse 6. I put this in your notes. He which has begun a good work in you will perfect it until the day. Yeah. He that has, the one that's given you a start, meaning God, will help you to see it to completion. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, God is faithful. He'll not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able. Yeah. All kinds of helps and resources. Romans 8, verse 31, if God is for us, who could be against us? In Luke 22, verse 46, Jesus said, pray lest ye enter into temptation. Prayer helps us to maintain and be steadfast and stable in Christian living. In Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hidden my heart that I might not sin against thee. In Hebrews 10, verse 24, let's consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the custom of some is. You see the abundance of helps in the Bible Message. It just keeps piling up the good resources that are there to keep us steadfast and faithful. Now, don't allow fears to keep you away from that decision. We have Bible classes, fellowship opportunities, gospel meetings, service opportunities. The list continues over and over again. Now, don't allow fear to keep you away from that great decision of becoming a Christian. Number 8, I put your notes, I'm too old. I'm too old. You ever hear the expression, can't teach an old dog new tricks? And that's sometimes what they tell me. So when they say that, I say, I know, and I also know that hardening of the heart and hardening of the arteries go together. But I've also heard it's never too late. Jesus said in John 6, verse 37, he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. There's not an age limit. You come. Come to God, God's way. He'll not cast you away. He will accept. Number 9 in your notes, putting another one I've heard for someone that they give me why they're not a Christian. My parents do not want me to obey. They don't want me to become a Christian. I can understand that. That situation is a possibility. You don't have to be a young person either for this to exist. You can be 15 or 25 or 50, I put in your notes. And your parents still living, they may not want you to leave your religion or the religion that you were raised in. But you know, Jesus knew that situation would exist. Jesus already addressed this. In Matthew 10, verse 34, Jesus said, think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man at variance against his father, a daughter against her mother. A man's foes shall they be of his own household. You see, sometimes when we preach the gospel, you might be teaching a family, and only one wants to respond. So one out of that family, or one out of an auditorium group like this, responds, becomes a Christian. Then they have to go home and live that Christian life among others who are not Christians. And there may be some hardships, some conflicts, some difficulty in trying to live a Christian life. So Jesus says that. That's right. But you make the choice to become a Christian. But Jesus also gives encouragement. He doesn't just leave you out on your own that way. So Jesus said in Mark 10, verse 28, Peter said to him, Lord, we've left all. We've followed you. Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mother and children and lands, and in the world to come, eternal life. You're going to tell me you can't leave all? You can't leave parents in making that decision? Why don't you lead the way? Live the Christian life rightly. They may follow. You can also teach them. We have families in this congregation where this situation exists, where one or maybe a few more in the family are Christians and others are not. The wife is a Christian, the husband is not. Or the husband is and the wife is not. That situation exists right here, right now. But thankfully, the one who is not a Christian encourages the other to live a Christian life. Those in that family who are not Christians perhaps appreciate the decision that the other has made. They're not ready to make that decision, but they say, all right, you have made it. I'm certainly not going to hinder you in that choice. So don't say, I don't want to become a Christian because others in my family don't want me to obey. But you go ahead and do what you know is right. And the others will appreciate that. Number 10. Last one I have in your notes. I don't believe in God, someone says to me. I said, really? What do you believe? Someone says, I don't believe in God. Okay, what do you believe? You have to believe in something. What's the rationale? What's the evidence? What's the testimony for your unbelief? The Bible says in Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens, the universe, declares the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. So we see a creation that demands a creator. We recognize that even in life. We see a design, there must be a designer. If we see a building, there must be a builder. See a watch, a watchmaker. Whatever it is, that's just a philosophy or a slogan of life. Paul addressed this exact situation in Romans chapter 1. Listen carefully. I'm going to begin at verse 18. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Here's what you tell or read to the one who says, I don't believe in God. Really? Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men, who by their wickedness suppress the truth. So here's the truth, that God exists. And God's wrath is going to be revealed to those who suppress that truth. Oh, I don't believe in God. Really? Continue reading. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature, namely, his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made. You tell me you don't believe in God. Are you blind in your eyes as well as your heart? Be blunt. You can't legitimately, of sound mind, say there is no God. The heavens declare the glory of God. If there's a creation, there's a creator. If there's a design, there's a designer. If there's a building, there's a builder. The evidence is there. That's what Paul says in Romans 1, beginning at verse 18. You've just literally closed your eyes or closed your ears to what is plainly, as Paul, the biblical phrase is, it's plainly revealed. I can't get any clearer than that. It's plainly revealed. just closing your mind. So I need to say that to you. Oh, I don't believe in God. Really? Then what do you believe in? Evolution? Big Bang Theory? Oh, my. Now, you talk about something that takes faith. It takes a lot of faith to believe in a Big Bang Theory. A lot of faith. Don't tell me you don't have faith. You just don't have faith in God. The Bible says in Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing God's word. If you want faith, you need to listen to God's word. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Listen to God's word more than anything else. That's our lesson. We're going to continue next week, Lord willing. Some other excuses. Someone says, I'm waiting. My number left on my notes. So I'm waiting for someone else to become a Christian. I'll try to answer that. I'm too great a sinner. I'm just too horrible. God won't accept me. I'll answer that one. I have plenty of time left. So we'll answer some more. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. It's an invitation for you to become a Christian. You've heard the good news that God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Now, if you believe that, because of the evidence, because of the testimony, it's there. And if you believe that, you're willing to turn your life around and confess your faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. You can be baptized for remission of sins. Rise to walk in newness of life. Old things are passed away. All things become new. That's the invitation we extend. There's no excuse for not obeying that, becoming a Christian. There's no excuse that God will accept. We just need to present the evidence, the Bible story, and be persuasive in that.